head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And this is the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm your host, Rick Redding, bringing you every week the most interesting people in the Ville. This is show number 280. If you can believe it, 280 consecutive weeks of shows. There's two guests a week. They're always among the most interesting people in the Ville. I have not failed you this week. I am very excited for a number of reasons. Today on Wednesday, my son Josh from Colorado, who lives in Colorado, works for Google. He's a Googler. That makes me a Doogler in their in the way they speak out there. Dad of a Googler. And Josh is in town. His mother is going through a surgery, and he's here to help her out. And so I got to go out to lunch with him and his brother Luke today, and we continued the celebration of Pizza Week in Louisville. You're going to hear a lot about that from Danny McMahon, my favorite pizza guy. He is my first guest on the show this week. In the second part of the show, please stay tuned. Karen Moskowitz, who is has an office in Portland for New Roots, and those are the people who have deals with farmers and citizens and help bring actual organic real vegetables to people who have tough time getting access to those, especially in West Louisville. It's a very good story. It's great that Karen and her group are involved in trying to improve things for people and let people live a more nutritional life, get better nutrition in their lives. And so that's coming up in the second part of the show with Karen Moskowitz. So stay tuned. First up, I want to thank my sponsors, which are Passport Health Plan. Passport has been with me from the beginning. If you go to passportwellbeing.com and click on the community, you can see more than 50 stories I've done about the West End. It's become quite a collection of stories, and I would love for you to take a look at those and see some of the great things happening in West Louisville. My sponsor, Heiser Health, is up in the Melwood Arts Center, the same place where Danny Mac's Pizza is. And, of course, Heiser has been responsible since March of getting me on track in health. I'm doing very well on that. I'm so, like, proud of myself. I'm playing racquetball again at a very competitive level, and I didn't think that would ever happen again in my life. But here I am, 58 years old, hitting it hard, and the way I mean to. I also am seeing better on the court because I got LASIK surgery this summer from at the Eye Care Institute. And you can check those guys out. They're in Butchertown on Story Avenue, and you can call them at 589-1500. Tell them Rusty Satellite sent you, and they'll set you up with an appointment for LASIK or just a general eye exam or any other eye care needs that you have. That's the Eye Care Institute. So those are our sponsors here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'd say it's time to get right to it. I went up to Danny Max, it's right up the street from where I live on Lower Brownsboro Road, right across, by the way, from the now obliterated Barbara Lee's Kitchen. That property is flat and ready to go there on Lower Brownsboro Road. Anxious to, there's been a lot of speculation around the neighborhood about what's going to go in there. I'm anxious to see. But anyway, I went up to see Danny Mac the other morning and talked to him about Pizza Week, which this is a promotion that has come out of a group in Cincinnati. And the same people that brought you the Burger Week promotion, now it's Pizza Week in Louisville, and it seems to be very successful. Now, I went back to Danny Mac's on Tuesday night and you know, I had some pizza. The thing about the Pizza Week thing is the participating restaurants give you a pretty darn good deal. They give you an $8 pizza. It's got at least 10 or maybe 12 inches in diameter. And so it's really a pretty good deal, and it gets a lot of people out. Danny said he has had the first night of the promotion was his best night. I think he said it was his best night ever up there in the Melwood Arts Center. So I went Tuesday night with Paula, and we had a pizza. Then I went to the Post on Wednesday with Josh and Luke to get their deal, and that was a heck of a deal. We three of us between the three of us we got two pizzas, spent $16, and that's pretty good for three people to have a good meal. So anyway, that's what's going on with Pizza Week. Danny Mack is a great story in and of himself. He is just a delightful person, very humble, and very good at what he does. Very good at making pizza, and I think you'll be interested here by my interview here with Danny Mack.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up. Until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is all about pizza because it's Louisville Pizza Week. And I'm with my favorite pizza guy, Danny McMahon. How are you, Danny?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Recovering from yesterday.
The first day of Louisville Pizza Week was a good one here at Danny Mac's.
Oh, yeah. We started around 4:30 in the morning with WDRB in the morning. And some of the other restaurants were on other channels. And the people of Louisville just got out last night and tried pizzas. I heard stories of other restaurants being busier than they ever were, and we sure were too.
Well, we're sure a pizza town, aren't we? I don't know about other places, but it seems like there's more pizza per capita in Louisville than other places.
Yeah, there's a lot of pizza places, and Louisville's a pizza town. I think we have our own style, and people just love it.
Oh, really? So, I hadn't heard that. I've heard of Chicago pizza, New York pizza. Louisville pizza? What is that?
I think it's mostly pride. I think we got the best pizza around, and I think I have the best pizza around.
There you go. Well, if you don't think it, nobody else will, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, from a guy that makes pizza for a living, what makes yours stand out?
I think we take a lot of care in making our pizza. We manage our dough real well. We have fresh sauce. I'm really proud of our cheese. We use a cheese that has no preservatives or additives, and I think you can really tell with the taste and the combination of our recipe.
Okay. Well, sounds like a better ingredients kind of story.
Yeah.
We know about that one. For people that don't know, I've known you a few years now. You moved up here to the Melwood Arts Center, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, about 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years ago. And before that, you had an interesting story. Tell me about how this place evolved.
We started over by St. X, and then I moved into a veterans post, and I heard that this restaurant was going to be open to be leased here at the Melwood Arts Center, and we came and looked at it, and it's just a beautiful place. We fixed it up a little bit, and it's a unique place on this courtyard. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of events here, and it's just a really cool place. It's different.
that's for sure. Right here in Melwood, right down from where I work out all the time at Heiser Health. Let me talk a little bit about this Pizza Week promotion. I see there's maybe a dozen local restaurants that serve pizza that are participating in the promotion. How did it come about? Because I really hadn't heard of it before.
Yeah, this guy, I think his name's Tony Frank. He's up in Ohio, and they've organized things like Burger Week, which we had in Louisville not too long ago, where everybody had $5 burgers. They've done them in other towns, and people was like, hey, let's try something different, and they were wanting to do a pizza week. And at first he was going to do an event and have a bunch of restaurants come to the event, but he was like, let's get people out and visit these restaurants. It'll really help them, and it's really taken off in other towns, so this is the first year here in Louisville.
Okay, the first year in Louisville, and to participate, you have to offer a special, right?
Yes. They had a minimum of a 10-inch pizza, and you had to make it $8. So a lot of places made up their own specialty pizza. We decided to do a two-topping regular size pizza like we have every day, the 12-inch. And we left it at two toppings so you could build it the way you want it.
Okay. So it's not just you know, a flat cheese pizza with nothing
on
it.
The
I'm looking at the they have a thing called a passport, right? So
yeah,
you can go and what do you get if you like spend the whole week eating at all these pizza restaurants?
The whole idea is to use this passport, visit these places in Louisville, and if you get 4 stamps on your passport or more, you can register to win $250 worth of gift certificates from these places.
So you can get more pizza?
Yeah.
Exactly, more pizza. So, all right, let's just go through some of that. Now, Danny, you run a pizza restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know about it, or do you check out the competition? Do you go eat pizza elsewhere to see what it's like?
No, I don't cheat on myself. I don't know if I think it's bad luck or what, but I know there's great pizzas out there. Lots of people love their local neighborhood place, and some people just go to certain places and hang out
sure.
with their friends.
Well, I notice on the list here, there's some, you know, sort of big name pizza places. I see Mellow Mushroom and Boomba's on here and Blaze, but I also see some places, frankly, I'm not really that familiar with. I'm not sure I've been to Baromeo's mm-hmm. or I didn't know about Bubba's, but I didn't know it for pizza. So there's a wide variety of places, and there's some in Indiana. There's fairly west, east, south, so there's a lot of variety and things you can check out.
Yeah, there was it was pretty interesting. They invited a couple restaurants for the news thing yesterday on mm-hmm. WDRB. They came here and filmed some cooking, and A Street Pizza, they're run by a mission, and I think they're trying to help people with their product and their sales, and they
okay.
said they're growing. I thought that was pretty interesting, and there's just lots of variety.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, let me ask you a little. If people don't know. I know you. Your story is a very interesting. You're a Louisville native, and you got in the pizza business early, right?
Oh yeah.
Tell me about how you got started.
Gosh, I can't believe it's been probably 20 to 25 years ago. I wanted to, you know, get a new job. I worked at Johnny's for years, and I didn't think I was going to go anywhere. It was like family there, but I wanted to look around and figure out what I wanted to do, and I saw a pizza place by U of L, and my family backed me, and we tried it, and probably failed a couple times, but
okay.
I didn't want to give up. So
were the early ones all? Was I didn't know about the one at U of L. Was that a Danny Max too? Or
no, I got involved with a small place called Pizza Mia, and then
okay.
got involved with Pizza Magia, and
I remember that.
Then I got out on my own. I just wanted to get my own product out there and. Something I was really proud of, and it's been 12 and a half years since then, and still
well,
around.
I remember that you must have some great memories. That it was like a closet over there on Poplar Level by St. X, right?
Yeah, on Clark's Lane. It was a small place. What's neat is my business partners now, went in on the old Tim Tam Tavern, which is just a couple doors from where I started, and we're selling Danny Mac's pizza through their kitchen now.
Right, I remember they put a lot of money into remodeling.
Oh
there,
yeah,
right?
It's a beautiful place, and they have their own food too, and it's just proud to have my food in the neighborhood again. They're not involved with this pizza week this week, but we are.
Yeah, well, the Tim Tam Tavern, I've heard about that. It's a popular place over there. And then you moved over to the the VFW post in Germantown.
Yeah.
For a while. How long were you there?
It's hard to remember. It's all a blur, but probably about 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Well, what I remember is like even when you were over there by St. X, it was like word of mouth. It was all about the quality of the pizza.
Yeah, I never had deep pockets to put postcards in the mail or advertise a lot. I just thought if I made the food good all the time that the word would spread. I definitely count on that and social media.
All right, and certainly promotions like Pizza Week. I don't imagine, I mean, you have to offer this lower priced product, but you're sure, I mean, were the people that came in last night, I guess they were not regulars.
Well, there was a few, but there were hundreds of people that we've never seen before, and they're just getting out to get their stamps on the passport. They're having a good time with this thing. It was crazy because you playing on something like this, and we had no idea that like a table of four, they would all order their own 12-inch pizza.
Oh, really?
You know, so we ended up running out of some of the products later in the night, but
okay.
There wasn't anything you could do about it because there was such a big crowd.
All right. Well, Louisville Pizza Week lasts until. What, Saturday?
Sunday.
So, you know, this show comes out on Thursday. You still got plenty of time to come up to Danny Mac's or any of the other places on this list. I guess there's over a dozen.
There's probably about 16 to 20 places.
And the website where you can find the passport and everything, I think it's just, well, if you just...
LouisvillePizzaWeek.com.
LouisvillePizzaWeek.com.
Or you could Google Louisville Pizza Week. It comes up pretty easily. And they got a Facebook page and Instagram. They're wanting people to get out and try the pizza, take pictures, post about your experience. They even have some things on the passport to, be ready for long lines. Understand that places might run out of dough like we did last night. And, the people were great last night. They understood that we were really busy, but... We took pretty good care of them, you know.
Okay. Well, you got and here it's not true in all these pizza places. You got a full bar.
Oh yeah, we don't have a full bar, but we got a good selection of Kentucky bourbons and you know tequila, gin, some of the basics, and we got a good selection of beer. What we're really pushing this week is the. One of the sponsors of Louisville Pizza Week is Braxton Brewing Company up
okay.
in Covington. And we got their garage beer. I think it's a lager. And we sold a lot of it last night.
Okay.
And you can get an extra stamp on your passport when you order a Braxton beer.
Okay.
At any of these places. And if they got the 502 wine... you can get a stamp on that too. We don't carry that here, but lots of these other places do.
So. Okay. Well, looks like a big success. It seems like maybe Louisville Pizza Week ought to be more than once a year.
I don't know about. I don't know if we can handle it more than once a year. But this week is going to be exciting, and it's going to be a lot of hard work and fun.
All right. Well, it's great to see you again, Danny, up here at the Melwood Arts Center, Danny Mac's Pizza. And we'll be back with more Rusty Satellite Show right after this.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right, that pizza is really good up there at Danny Mac's. Give it a shot if you haven't been there. But always enjoy talking to Danny. And please stay tuned. The second part of the Rusty Satellite Show, the second interview in the show, is Karen Moskowitz. She is the director at New Roots, which provides organic vegetables and other food to people that need it through a program that helps farmers as well. So stay tuned for that. I've got a few topics I want to get through here as part of the show. We always have the most interesting people in the Ville here, and I always pick out the most interesting news items, I think, or simply some things I've done that I think you'll find interesting. And one thing, I know it's still showing out there at the Stony Brook theaters, but this movie, River Runs Red, starring Taye Diggs, you heard about it a few weeks ago when I had Juju Papaye on the show. The actor Juju plays a really interesting role. I went to the premiere on Friday night. The movie premiered in 20 cities, and it is filmed almost entirely in Louisville. So as you're watching the movie, you're seeing all kinds of things that you know and recognize. I especially loved near the end, there's a fight scene that takes place in the basement. And I knew this because I recognized it because I'd been there, the basement at Copper and King's, where all the barrels are. And it was quite a scene. I'm anxious to talk to Joe Heron about that because, you know, there was a lot of shooting and stuff going on. I guess there wasn't any damage to the product down there, but boy, what a scene. The movie tackles a very serious subject. It shows a respected black judge who is played by Diggs, who loans his car, and I think it's like a BMW, to his son. And in broad daylight, his son is driving around. A couple of white cops pulled him over, basically ended up shooting him. And the story is about the revenge that Diggs' character tries to perpetrate on the cops who did the shooting. And it's a very serious topic. The movie has been moderate in, I guess I would say, in terms of reviews. I really enjoyed it, in part because of all the Louisville scenery, and in part because Juju's in it. And Juju plays a very interesting role, and not a minor role either. He is the mayor of the city, the fictional city where this takes place. So you still got a chance to go out and see River Runs Red at the Stony Brook Theaters. You should really make an effort to get out there. I'm not sure how much longer that film will be playing, and I'm not sure how many other cities it's still in. But it was great to go out there and see Juju. And Faith Yascone, who's been on this show, you know the Yascone sisters, Hope, Faith, and Love. I think they they're holding an event in the first week of December. They call it their Prohibition Open House. It's up on Frankfort Avenue. You can find that on Facebook, and you know, I'm sure they'd love to have you come by. Just tell them you heard about it on the Rusty Satellite Show. But she plays a very minor role as Juju's assistant in the movie, and she gets some good screen time. It's a good thing. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting thing. So what a week we've had. You know, if you randomly turn on the radio in Louisville at any hour of any day, you're going to hear people talking about Bobby Petrino and Jeff Brohm and the football situation over the University of Louisville. Now, I'm supposed to go on Saturday to the UofL North Carolina State game. I hate November football in terms of attending in person because it's always cold. I don't like sitting out in the cold for 3 hours, but I may go because I have season tickets. I know there won't be a big crowd out there, but if you haven't heard, if you have somehow, like my son Luke, who didn't know what was going on, UofL fired Bobby Petrino finally on Sunday. The program had just gotten so bad that it didn't make any sense any longer to continue and wait till the end of the season to fire Petrino. Vince Tyree just said, we're going to go ahead and do it now. We've got an interim coach, Lorenzo Ward, who's going to be in charge for the final two games of the season between North Carolina State this week and Kentucky next week. And, you know, I'm not expecting much out of those games. But the big speculation, everybody wants to get Jeff Brohm in here. Jeff Brohm, who, wow, I'd love to see him. He was the coach of Western Kentucky, was a guest on this show, as a matter of fact. My gut feeling is that they're not going to succeed in getting him. I really don't think it's going to happen. Petrino's gone, and I don't think he lost on purpose, but he did have an incentive to lose. He had an incentive to get fired because he got this $14 million buyout package, which is all the rage in college football contracts today. I'm just hoping that Neely Bendapudi just puts her foot down and says, we're not going to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. The blame for Bobby's crazy contract goes to Tom Jurich. Jurich overpaid all his coaches. I mean, there are coaches over there now that have better salaries than their counterparts at other schools because of Tom Jurich. And you know, I when you really look back on it, you know, was Jurich that great of an athletic director, or did he just have more money to spend to spread around? He got a lot of good facilities built. He did a lot of good for the university. But the contract he signed with Bobby Petrino was not one of those things. In retrospect, it really didn't make sense. It did at the time, but the hiring of Petrino 5 years ago or whenever it was, when he was, you know, at that time, it was like, oh, yuck, I don't like the character of that guy. He's a bad person. He you know, nobody likes him, but he sure does win a lot, so let's hire him. And that was the thing. You accepted all of Petrino's shortcomings in every other area of the game because he was a winner, and it shows how important winning is. Well, when he stops winning, you know, his critics came out of the woodwork, and I think he just gave up on the team, and he knew he had $14 million coming when he got fired, and there you go, he's out the door. So a lot of speculation on who the new coach is going to be. You can tune into talk radio at any hour of the day in Louisville and see. I will say that immediately after the firing, I've often been critical of sports talk radio, but around here, that's what when there's something like a coach getting fired, with Petrino getting fired, that's what you want to hear. I know that one of the stations went on for a crazy amount of hours after the firing was announced last Sunday. It was pretty interesting radio. I have to give it to them. So anyway, that's what's going on in the football world. All right. Speaking of updates to the show, the Metro Council this week, a Metro Council committee approved the Topgolf going forward. Topgolf, as you know, as you heard last week on this show, is a entertainment complex that wants to set up in Oxmoor Mall, and a bunch of old farts in Hurstbourne are against it. They think it's going to be there's going to be like these Godzilla cages are going to be flashing lights into their bedrooms, and that all the drunk people leaving the event will drive through their yards and crash into their houses. That's what they think. Interesting, the vote, the committee vote was 5-1. The one abstention was Marilyn Parker, whose district encompasses Oxmoor Mall, and never really thought a whole lot of her either. She was considered like the crazy one when she got elected. And, you know, probably feels like she has to vote against this thing because a lot of those people in Hurstbourne are voters, and she doesn't, you know. At least it's only one vote. And now it goes to the full Metro Council, which I'm sure it will fly through. And we'll be on our way to having a Topgolf location right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So anyway, that's a great thing. You know, in politics, we're in the week after the election. There's a lot of stuff going on nationally. I know if you're keeping up some of the elections, the counting is still going on. I don't think Florida is, as of this moment, they haven't said what they're going to do in Florida with the governor's race and the Senate race. There's controversy in Georgia over that one. And, of course, here we have, we didn't have very close races. Mayor Fisher is in his third term. There's a story in Leo Weekly, it's kind of interesting, about what it has six writers speculating on what Mayor Fisher should accomplish in his third and final term. This is the last time we'll elect Greg Fisher as mayor of our city. One of the suggestions is that he spend a lot of his efforts bringing up the West End, and certainly that would be a good spot. There are plenty of suggestions on things that Fisher could and should do. Most of the criticism he gets, or he got in the campaign from Angela Leet, was about policing. And, you know, I think that's always going to be controversial. There's always going to be crime, and there's always people who point the finger at the mayor for things that happen that aren't in his control, I don't think. So, so crime's always going to be an issue. I don't think there's a political solution to the problem of crime. Although I do hope Fisher spends a lot of time and attention on the West End. And if you improve the surroundings there, if you do things like, you know, improve the amount of money in there, raise the poverty level, raise the level of income for the people who live there, you'll see a reduction in crime. And I think the statistics show that crime is already on its way down. All that. A couple of media stories of a little bit of interest to me. I'm always interested in media stories. I used to work in sports down at Tennessee. I used to my game day job was opponent locker room quotes. So I went down to the opponent's locker room, got a few quotes from players, took them up to the press box, and wrote them up. In Louisville, apparently, I didn't realize this. The controversy today is that Chris Mack has decided he doesn't want reporters in the locker room anymore. And reporters have always been allowed to go in the locker room, talk to players after games. And that's come to an end. And I don't think it's very controversial. I don't think we're going to know much less about what's going on because reporters can't go in the locker room. But it's a thing. It's a change that you certainly didn't expect around here. So that's a big media story. It's interesting to me, and also I got to get to Governor Bevin. Certainly he doesn't like the Courier-Journal, and it's obvious the Courier-Journal doesn't like him. The Courier took some comments he made. I thought it was pretty funny. It made a headline out of it that Bevin thinks that, Bevin is really against any kind of gun control legislation. He's really against it. He really wants, I think if it were up to him, you'd get a gun when you turn 16 or something. I mean, he really wants everybody to have guns. But he blamed shootings and misuse of guns on, I kid you not, zombie movies in our society. He likes to point his finger at things he doesn't like and use those to blame for things that go wrong in our society. That's just what he does. And so that's just a kind of a funny thing. I like the fact that that the Courier sort of goes after him for when he says something stupid things like that. And this was a monumentally dumb one. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of speculation. He hasn't announced officially that he's running for re-election next year, but I'm sure he will. And also, you may note, I think I saw that he announced. If you remember a month or so ago, right before the election, Rocky Adkins, the House, well, he was the House Minority Leader. He's the House Minority Leader in Kentucky. He's announced he's running for governor. So good for him. I'd love to see a guy like that get in the governor's chair. You can go back and listen to that show if you like. Rocky has some good ideas. He certainly we didn't get the blue wave here in Kentucky. I read a story in somewhere where it was a national story, but it was talking about Kentucky and how, like in Georgia and Florida, in Texas, and we've got these new types of politicians that are gaining ground and getting a lot of support from diverse electorates. Well, probably not going to happen in Kentucky. I saw a statistic. I don't know if you know how many people in Kentucky are white, but it's a lot. 85% of the people who live in Kentucky are white, according to this thing I read. So it makes it hard for candidates who aren't white to make any headway. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. All right, well, let's get on to my second guest, and that is Karen Moskowitz. She's lovely. I really enjoyed going down to Portland with my photographer Bill Breimer to talk to Karen about New Roots, and it was a really cool place. She has this Strawberry Man thing on the wall. We talk about it in the interview. A great piece of art. It's right next door to the table, which is like one of the I've talked about the table on the show before. It is a unique restaurant in Portland where if you can't afford to pay, they'll literally let you wash dishes. You can earn your food down there, but it's an innovative place and a very popular restaurant in Portland. It is always crowded when I go there. In fact, after Bill and I were finished with Karen and the interview, Bill and I went over there and had some lunch, and it was great as usual. They have really good food there. It's a really good crowd. Always a good experience. So recommend if you ever. Looking for a place to an unusual place to eat, go down to the West End, go down to Portland and have a meal at the table. And but Karen is doing really important work. And, when I have a nonprofit leader as a guest on the show, I like to think that I'm doing something good in terms of getting the word out about something good that's going on. So that's what's going on here. Karen Moskowitz came here as a founder of New Roots, and she's getting a lot done. It is the end of their growing season. They're starting their fundraising, and they've got a great mission to help people have good food to eat. You know, a lot of places in the West End, your best bet is going to be like donuts and chips at the corner store. And, you know, that's just what's available. A lot of people there don't have transportation. They don't have access to good grocery stores, et cetera. So anyway, a small part in helping those people is what Karen's doing with New Roots. They got this cool truck, and she'll talk about how Mike Mays of Honey Brothers helped her get this truck painted, and they take that around to their Fresh Stop markets when they hold those during the season. So anyway, I'd rather hear it all from her. She's got a great program going on down there, and this is my interview with Karen Moskowitz.
All right, today I'm down in Portland with Karen Moskowitz, who is the executive director here at New Roots and Fresh Stop Markets, right, Karen?
Perfect. Yes.
All right. Well, I know a lot of people probably don't know what New Roots is, so let's get started with that.
But they definitely should.
They should.
Right? You want the best organic veggies in the region and the most powerful movement, definitely should know about New Roots. So we are a nonprofit, very grassroots, with a mission of igniting community power for fresh food access. And our main initiative is the Fresh Stop Markets.
Okay.
And this is a movement of people around the city, mainly families, individuals, who have struggled with fresh food access.
Okay.
Maybe just recently, maybe even for generations, just simply not having access, meaning not being able to afford to pay the high prices of fresh fruits and vegetables from a grocery store. Now, having grocery stores in the vicinity,
right.
Maybe
hear about, the food desert and especially in West Louisville, right?
Right. So, yeah, though this is a term that's sort of like designated by the USDA for a neighborhood whose families have to go over a mile to get food.
Right.
So,
or good food, because you can always get chips and donuts at the corner store.
That's right. That's why some people in this movement call this a food swamp. Some people call it food apartheid. I mean, regardless of what we're going to call it, the result is that if families are having trouble accessing fresh fruits and vegetables, let alone local organic food, right, which is really the best for you, then what we're going to have and what we've been seeing is very disturbing health statistics that are disproportionately affecting people of color and people who live in neighborhoods that are isolated from sources of fresh food.
Which is right here. So tell me a little history about New Roots. You're a co-founder, you said, I think, or founder, and when did it get started?
So I moved here to Louisville in 2007, and this was, a main purpose was to create farmers markets in West Louisville, in the California neighborhood, and also to help continue the one that was happening in Mazeek Middle School in Smoketown. But we were really struggling because farmers were not making the money that they needed to make at the market, and so they were leaving empty-handed, and families were not able to afford the high prices, the high retail prices of this fresh local organic food, so they were leaving empty-handed. So we heard about this model of Fresh Stop Markets from friends in Cleveland.
Okay.
And it really is a very eloquent solution, although there's a lot of moving parts, so it's quite complex, though it looks easy on the ground, where families pool their resources based on income. So it's a sliding scale, people paying what they can, either with food stamps, SNAP benefits, or cash, to then be able to have big buying power and negotiate wholesale prices with local farmers. So they guarantee farmers a market, and farmers have no more risk in selling to families with limited resources.
Okay. So is this my knowledge of this is that, like, you sign up to be in this program and you never know what you're going to get every week, right?
Well, so
or am I wrong?
What goes in a share, right? So
right.
We call everybody who's involved a shareholder, and every share or bag has 10 varieties of local organic seasonal vegetables.
Okay.
And these items are picked out by members of the community in the winter who forecast with the farmers to ask for certain vegetables. So to them, it's not a surprise. And to people who are used to eating in season, many, many seasons, having these shares, you know what's coming. Okay. You don't may not know exactly, because anything can happen overnight.
Right.
You know, we can have a bug eat all the kale, or like what happened this year, we had a tornado wipe away a whole carrot crop from one of our farmers in Meade County.
Okay.
But you don't exactly know, but you generally know. You have to wait for the tomatoes until July.
Right.
Right. Right now we're getting pie pumpkins and winter squash and greens, and so people, you get used to it.
Yeah. So this is the sort of the end of the season.
It is. We have one more market, which is tied to a big party called the Farmer Appreciation Dinner that's happening here in Portland around the corner this week.
Okay. This week being Thursday, I mean, the show airs Thursday, so
that's
people
right.
can still
stop by and say hi. Yeah, so we have from 6 to 7:30 a dinner to fondly appreciate our farmers, because they do drop off the food and leave. They're not standing selling food like at a farmer's market for each pop-up market, which is 132 over the growing season, because we had 12 markets locally that pop up every other week for 22 weeks. So.
Okay.
Here's our chance, finally, for our shareholders to love on the farmers, listen to them, give talks, speeches.
Really? Yeah. So they learn, because I imagine with these vegetables, maybe some of them we're not that familiar with. We know potatoes and all that, but I guess you got to give some instruction in how to fix them. Right?
Or people have to give me instruction from the community, because I didn't grow up eating turnips, you know, whereas Miss Mary, my colleague, she had to teach me how to make turnips. You know, she's born and raised in West Louisville and had families that lived on farms and remembered.
Okay.
But certainly there are new generations that are coming up that might not have any familiarity and of no sort of fault of their own, right? And I'm not really having exposure to farmers markets like some, like maybe kids growing up in the Highlands and seeing these vegetables. But if you have an open mind and you can get around these controversial vegetables, like eggplant, for example.
Oh, I love eggplant.
I love it too.
That's one I know about, because my mom made me eggplant when I was growing up.
But what about kohlrabi?
No, I don't know a thing about
that. See, there you go. They look like little flying saucers. They're purple and green, and we've really like made a name for a kohlrabi. You know, you have to have an open mind, because you're getting the best produce at the best price in season. So open your mind and try something new.
Try something different. Now, tell me about the people who are the shareholders. I mean, they're primarily in West Louisville?
Well, we have, since we have 12 markets, we have a few. I think we have four in West Louisville, but we also have markets in New Albany, Jeffersonville, Hikes Point, you know, Smoketown, Old Louisville, et cetera. So, and one even out in Sun Valley. So we pop up where we are asked to come. We are pulled into the community by someone from an institution like a church or a community center, or maybe just an individual who is just basically really sick and tired of they themselves not being able to get access, don't want their community to keep struggling.
Okay.
So then we come together with volunteer leaders from that community to pop up during the growing season. So we're real busy over the winter, you know, raising the money and pulling people together. But we haven't crunched the final numbers yet, but we think we have about 2,400 families involved, if you consider Lexington and Brandenburg and Hazard, Kentucky, where we've replicated the model. And 70% of our shareholders identify as limited resource shareholders, so they pay the lower end of the sliding scale. And the 30% identify as mid or higher income, and are willing to pay more in the pot so everybody can eat.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's nice. I know she got this very cool truck outside.
The Beatmobile.
The Beatmobile, you call it. Okay. And tell me about the Beatmobile. You're telling me a neat story about how it came to look so cool.
Right. So we picked this Beatmobile up, about 2 years ago in Fort Wayne. My colleague and I, Miss Mary, she drove it back. And it was painted yellow and green. It was like an old moving truck, you know. And then a food bank had painted it to try to liven it up. But it was super ugly. We loved it, but it was super ugly. And Mike Mays, CEO of Heine Brothers, is a new shareholder and a new leader in this movement for the Portland Fresh Stop Market. he was volunteering in the West End for Shawnee Market. He saw the truck and he mentioned that it was quite ugly. So, and what was I going to do about it? Because his truck had just been wrapped and very beautifully. So, you know, we don't have the funds to do this kind of thing at New Roots. So he pulled together the funds in the pro bono in-kind donations from Zimmer and Premier Design. And pulled this beautiful design together, and now it's a famous Beatmobile. People take selfies with it. We have a new tagline, fresh food for all y'all.
All right.
Which goes along with our fresh food is a basic human right tagline. We love it.
That must be tough for you. I think I saw in your background, you're from the Northeast, right?
I am, yes,
so,
originally.
So saying y'all is not...
Yeah, right. I'm getting used to it. We say all yous in New Jersey, so it is a little different.
Yeah. Well, you're doing good work here, and I want to comment. We're down here in Portland at your headquarters, and it's right next to the table, which a lot of people know is a very cool place for lunch, and we got this great piece of art behind us.
That's right. It's sort of
Strawberry Man.
Right, painted by an artist who grew up around the corner, kind of like, wouldn't you call it, like a WPA mural type of cubist. Strawberry Man is a very real historical figure from West Louisville. He was riding around in a horse and buggy and calling out, strawberries! Get your fresh strawberries. So he was selling strawberries through the neighborhood. So we've adopted him as our hero.
Okay.
And we pull him out to the Strawberry Festival every year when we kick off the growing season in May so people can meet him.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's very cool and a very nice piece of art. So
Patrick Callahan, that's the artist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, New Roots is doing good work. So this is the end of your season. When do you start up in 2019?
Well, this is the end of the growing season in Kentucky, right? So unfortunately, we don't have any food left to connect people with, although we are asking for people to please donate gift cards to Kroger's or Aldi's or wherever you can go in $20 increments so that our shareholders who still can access fresh fruits and vegetables because they're buying back into the conventional food system that doesn't make allowances like we do.
Because you've gotten them used to having fresh...
organic food, yeah.
Fresh organic food.
I mean, it's not just fresh. It's local organic. I mean, we're all very spoiled. A lot of our shareholders have inflammatory disease where they can't eat food that's been sprayed. You know, the cancer survivors, et cetera. So anything anyone can do to help our shareholders continue to eat well during the growing season, that would be great. We are also kicking off our very first annual campaign called Sustainable Roots, where we're looking for members of the community to come together to raise $100,000 to help us get that Beatmobile back on the road next year and all of us back popping up more markets.
Okay.
And you'll hear more about that at newroots.org. We're starting to come together around monthly recurring donations. We have shareholders who can't afford to pay for their shares that they're donated. So we have some shareholders, we never accept no for an answer, who are paying into the Sustainable Roots campaign.
Okay.
You know, so everyone can pay a little bit.
Yeah, well, I understand that. And I see you're very passionate about this. Where does that come from? I mean, you have a passion for the food movement.
Well, it comes from a variety of sources. First of all, I grew up in New Jersey, a single Jewish mother and we were surrounded by farms. We were always able to get what we wanted, Jersey tomatoes, corn. We had grocery store within walking distance.
Okay.
I was always very well fed. Also, I come from a Jewish background where we're called to pursue justice, you know, continually, every waking moment that we can. And so when I first was called to move here by another organization to work on these farmers markets, I had never seen an urban area without a grocery store, and it really hit me hard.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in the neighborhood, so I was part of the neighborhood struggling to gain access to good local organic food. And so I don't want to see people struggle. I think that I know we can do this. I know as a state we have more farms per capita than any other state. We have more water. We can feed each other. We just have to create the systems and the platforms and the people, you know, pull the people together.
All right. Very good, Kira. Well, that's very cool. I'm fascinated to hear the story, and so thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
The Rusty Satellite Show airs each and every week here on the Louisville.am network, the network that Dan Vonderheide called me up about 5 years ago and said, You ought to do a show, okay? And that's how the Rusty Satellite Show got its start a long time ago. Thanks to Karen Moskowitz for allowing me come down to Portland and talk with her, and to my good buddy Danny Mack. Danny McMahon, reminding you that it is Louisville Pizza Week through Saturday. I guess you can still go out and get a good deal on some pizza around town. There's about a dozen to 15 different pizza locations where you can go get an $8 pizza, and it's guaranteed to be filling and good. All right, just get the, you know, eat in moderation and get the right kind of ingredients. I don't get meat on my pizzas anymore. That's my concession to my diet, my new nutritional plan that Peggy Heiser set up for me. It really doesn't. She really never told me not to eat meat. I just decided not to. Not a vegetarian or anything. I eat fish and chicken, but I don't eat the pepperoni and the salami and the ham and all those meats. Just don't do it. I haven't had a burger for a while. I think I've had a burger twice since March. So anyway, made some changes that are still paying off for me personally. So anyway, Rusty Satellite Show is all about, it's the only podcast in town that's all local, all about local people doing cool and interesting things. And I certainly invite you to get in touch with me if you've got a suggestion for the show. I'm always looking for new guests. It's a very spontaneous show. I don't plan the guests out that far in advance, because I want them to be timely and I want them to be interesting. So I pay attention to what's going on. I do that in part through all the local media, but I run my own site, LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. You can check that out anytime you like at LouisvilleKY.com. And certainly, it's interesting to see what Rusty Satellite alumni are doing. Like this week, I had the updates on Top Golf. I had the Juju Papalia thing. There are a lot of, you know, this collection of people who have been on this show, including all those characters over at U of L, like Jeff Rahm and Tom Jurich. All those people have been on the show. So you can always go back and listen to what they said at the point in time where they were on the show. And that's a pretty cool thing, I think. That's one of the great things about podcast and the way you know, Dan Bondheide has set up this Louisville.am network. So anyway, that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited about having my son Josh in town and what's coming up on the weekend. We may have snow, ladies and gentlemen, and that is I didn't get the end of that, and I'm not going to go too deep into that, but I heard some intelligence this week about how those TV stations actually, you know, oversell the snow on purpose. It's on purpose. It's no accident. They are overselling. They are trying to scare you. So try to see through it and know that it's never, it's probably never as bad, going to be as bad as they warn you it's going to be on TV. It's one of my things about those guys. I've had Kevin Harnett on the show, and you know, and we've had a friendly disagreement. I've brought up how what I think of that practice that the TV stations do, but that's the way it is. We've heard a lot this week. I know the city put a release out about how ready they are for snow. The snow's coming and we're ready. You know, we got all the snow plows and all that stuff. You know, I'll be surprised if we have a lot of snow this winter, because we haven't in a number of years. You know, I'm not saying it's global warming, but I do think global warming is a thing. And our winters aren't as harsh as they used to be when I was growing up. There's no doubt about that. I'll be back next week with another exciting episode featuring two more of the most interesting people in the
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.